Timothy chapter number 4. We'll just read one verse here, and that's down in verse number 12. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that You please, Lord, speak to us. Lord, thank You for the thoughts that You've put upon our heart. Help us to say that which will be pleasing to You and deliver us from error, I pray. And for what You accomplish in our hearts, we'll thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I remember these verses coming alive to my heart and to my mind of as a young person trying to live for God. And there's definitely an understanding of when He says, "Let no man despise your youth." That word "despise" there means to disesteem. It means to think against. And Paul told Timothy, he said, I don't want you to be intimidated, as it were, because of those that may despise you because of your youth. Now, when we say that, this thought hit me years ago, and that is, I can't make somebody like me. I can't make somebody respect me, and I can't make it where that they may not even that they may even disesteem me. I can't stop them from that, but I can live for God in such a way that regardless of people's opinion of me, that I can continue to serve the Lord. And I say that to the young people that are here. You're going to step up to serve God. And what happens is, in the back of your mind, there's something that in your mind says, "I'm too young to serve God." That's baloney. The truth is, I look back over my life, sometimes I feel like I was closer to the Lord as a young person than sometimes I am as an adult. And that being said, there's more things that I deal with now than I deal with then. And the truth is the greatest time for you to live for God is right now. Because I can promise you it's not going to get any better. The world's not going to get any better. Your circumstances are not going to get any better. Your opportunity is not going to get any better than more than likely than what you have right now. You'll take on more responsibility, you'll take on more duties, and you being able to serve the Lord, you have the prime opportunity to serve the Lord, and that is now. Amen. And so when you consider this, if you feel intimidated or discouraged by what others' estimation of you is, don't worry about it. Now, that being said, if they have an estimation of you because there is a deficiency in your life, fix your deficiency. Listen, there's times when somebody's going to look down on you and you know the reason why. It's not just because you're young, but it's because you're dumb. Amen? And so they look down on you, they disesteem you. And in these verses, they use the word despise. You feel like you're being despised, and it's because you did something dumb. And boy, I can testify to that. But there has been times when I've been doing what is right, and when I was doing what is right because of my age, because of different things, that people did not esteem you doing right. But you're doing it before the Lord, and so you continue on. But that's not what I want to deal with. The next thing that he says, "Let no man despise thy youth." But here is the contrast to that. How do you deal with it if you are being despised? How do you deal with it if you are not being esteemed? He said, "Be thou an example of the believers." Be thou an example of the believers. Now I want to deal with that of being an example of the believers. Being an example of the believers. Now what is this example? If you were to look it up, it means a die. It means a stamp. It means a shape. It means a statue. It means a style. It means a resemblance. What does it mean to be an example? It means to set forth yourself in such a way that others can see indeed of what you are supposed to be before the Lord. Now, I ask you this question: what kind of example are you? What kind of example are you? Now, that being said, we know that this could apply to any of us, and we understand the context that is here. But can I say, your only recourse for being despised or for you to be respected is to be an example. You know the reason why, the main reason why you don't have respect is because you're not an example. The main reason that you will not command the respect of your children, that you will not command the respect of maybe a spouse, that you may not command the respect of your fellow believers in Christ, the reason why you won't command the respect down at the workplace is because of the lack of being an example. And he said, this is what needs to be happen if you're going to make a difference, if you're going to be what you should be. Is for you to be example. Now here's the key. The Bible does not say that we were to be an example to the believers. He was not telling Timothy, figure out how you can influence the believers around you to make an impression upon them and to be an example to the believers. Now, would he be an example to the believers? Most definitely. But that was not what Paul told him to do. He did not say, be an example to the believers. His idea was not to promote his image, nor to say, this is the statue, this is what you're supposed to follow. I have been here, I have been there, I have done this, I have done that, and here I am the example. That's not what Paul told him. He did not say for him to be an example to the believers, but what did he say? He said to be an example of the believers, or of the believer. So what is the picture here? The picture is regardless of whether anybody is following your example or not, that everybody knows that you are the example in how you conduct yourself. Listen, you may tell you what happens. Most people, they'll step out and they want to do something for God, and they will be an example as long as they know somebody is following them. But Timothy was not an example that was going to be an example as long as somebody was following him, as long as he had somebody's ear, as long as he had someone listening, as long as he was mentoring somebody, that he would be an example. No, he was going to be an example whether anybody followed him or not, whether anybody cared about or not. He needed to be an example, and that's what Paul said unto him. He said, I want you to be an example of the believers. What was he saying? Timothy, what you saw in other believers, what you know a believer is supposed to be, how you know a believer is supposed to act, how you know a believer is supposed to behave, and all the things a believer is supposed to do, I want you to show forth that example. Our churches are in trouble today because of a lack of examples. Once again, buddy, people get excited, and it is encouraging, and it's easy to do what's right in a degree when you feel the pressure of people looking at you. But a true example, whether somebody's looking or not at you, you do what's right. Can I put it this way? If you go and you figure out how to do right for just a little while to make a good impression on somebody, and then you walk away from it and you get away from it for a little while because you don't feel like nobody cares about the example you set forth, there's something wrong with that. I've seen people come into church, they have a good attitude, and we'll get to some of these other things, they have a good spirit, as long as they think that people are listening to them. But the minute somebody turns them off, all of a sudden they're not willing to be an example, they're going to be mad and they're going to have a bad attitude. All of a sudden, when they thought they were getting their way because people were paying attention to them, they were fine. Why? They were important. They felt like they had a following. But when they don't have a following, when somebody's not following their direction, then all of a sudden they want to quit. My friend, you'll never make it in the will of God and in the things of God if you are just trying to be an example to the believer. You've got to learn to be an example of a believer. Amen. that you're supposed to bring forth what you should be. Now, when we look at this, we would say certainly this applies to our young people. Young people, we need examples. There's some of you young people that you're getting older, and the truth is there is somebody watching you. They are watching you. There are people that are older than you are that are watching you. They are watching you to see if you are going to be an example of a believer. Are you going to be a full Christian? Are you going to be a well-rounded Christian? Are you going to have all the capacity of a Christian, of a believer? And they're looking for that in young people. We need young people that will be an example. An example. We needed preachers to be an example. Well, surely that would apply in these verses. Timothy was a young preacher. And he needed to be an example of the believer. We could preach to us preachers for a little while. And buddy, we need some preachers that are good examples of what a Christian ought to be. It's amazing in our day, but I'll just go ahead and be honest with you. There's a lot of preachers that can preach the paint off the wall, but they're sorry Christians. They can take the Bible and they can talk a lot of good things about it, and they're very impressionable, but they are not a good example of a believer. God help us as preachers, if you claim the call of God, that there's something upon you that you can show the example of being a good Christian, of being a good believer. But I would say that this definitely applies to all of us. It applies to all of us that we ought to be an example of what a believer should be. How long have you been saved? You've been saved 5 years? You've been saved 10 years? What kind of example are you? Listen, I don't expect these babies around here to behave like you behave. I expect you to behave. Why? I don't expect them to set the example. And even so, when it comes to our Christian life, is there a maturity in your life to such a degree that you are an example and can be an example of the things of God? When I've considered the things of trying to reach the world with the gospel, the truth is when we go and we try to reach the world with the gospel, we're taking the church, we're taking you, you're a part of the church, and your life becomes on display. Now, we could talk about that thing if all of a sudden we were going to take our church service and record it and put it out for public consumption. My mind has gone to all the different things that need to be just right. That there's not a distraction, that there's everything that's right. Why? Are we trying to be Hollywood? No. But we want it to be that there's nothing that could be seen that would take away from us being the example of what a believer should be. If I record the choir when they sing, would it be an example of believers and how they're supposed to sing and how they're supposed to make much of the Lord? Would it be an example that it would be something that others could see? If we're going to make much of it, are we the example of a believer? And regardless of whether anybody would pay attention to it or not, we ought to be that believer. Regardless of whether it's being publicized or not, we ought to be the example of that believer. Boy, these thoughts have come to my mind because there's so many opportunities that are out there, and I see more and more opportunity to reach others. But where's the examples that are going to be found? And once again, I'm not saying to do it for the sake of someone to follow you. I'm not even saying to do it for the sake of someone being saved. I'm saying doing it for the sake because you love Jesus. Because what Timothy had to have in his heart was to be an example of the believers and not to the believers. What we'll do is we'll be an example to the lost man when we're trying to get him to come to Christ. And there's a level of nobility that is there. I understand that. But can I tell you, if there's going to be a consistency in Sweet Home Baptist Church and in the house of God, there's got to be this example of the believers. When I confer, when I think about all the things that are going to go on, and if you were to present us and present this church, I'm going to pay attention to how we look. I pay attention to how we're dressed. Why? Because everything sends a message. I pay attention to how we sound, how we come across, how I come across. I consider, are we in our right places at the right time? Are we doing all these things so that we can be an example? And these things are important. But I'll even go a step further. The truth is we as a church, we should be individually an example of what a believer should be, but we as a church ought to be an example of what a church should be. You know the reason why young people have an easy time of going to the world? Because the example of the congregation wasn't such that it was worth following. Yeah, they caught the element of truth, but they caught the double standard and they never had an example to follow. Now, that being said, every man must give an account to God, and they had to come to the Christ, so that's not a complete excuse for that individual or for anyone that would be listening. Say, oh, that's my reason. I just didn't have a good example. Guess what? You'll go to hell with all the other people that were a poor example and the hypocrites in church. You'll spend eternity with them in hell by rejecting Jesus Christ. So there is no true excuse, but I too want it to be that I wouldn't be a part of an excuse of why somebody couldn't come to where they need to be with the Lord. Now, that being said, he said for us to be an example. What does this example look like? We'll deal with one tonight and we'll be done. What did he say? He said, I want you to be an example of the believers, and he said, in word. I wish somebody else could come up and preach right now. Our words. Are you an example of a believer with your words? Go with me to James 3. James 3. The example of a believer in what we say. For in word, it means something said. It means a topic, what we talk about. It means our reasoning of things, how we think about things, our motive, how we put these things together. It means when it talks about the word, about our divine communication, our doctrine, all the things about our word. How does our words go? I ask you today, if we were to take your words and play them back of just today, of just this first half of this week, with what you have said, been an example of a believer. Or would we say, they might be a believer, they might not be. For all I know, they might be as lost as a ball in high weeds by what they said. Are you an example by what you say? Now, James, speaking to the church at Jerusalem, went and said in verse number 2 of chapter number 3, for in many things we offend all. Amen to that. You know, it'll do you good to help you out and understand this. There's a lot of things that we offend in. There's a lot of things, when we talk about offenses, I'm not talking about people getting feelings on their shoulder. There's a lot of things that are never said And we've been offense to somebody by not being the example that we should be. But in these verses, the offense, he turns it and talks about our words. You ever offended someone just because you didn't say it right? You weren't sensitive enough with your words to use them in a correct way. And so there's an offense of our tongue. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. It means complete. It means whole. And able also to bridle the whole body. Boy, this is a good one to start working on. Because he said, if you're going to be an example, I want you to be an example in word that you know how to control your tongue, Timothy. That you as a believer, when people see you and when they hear you, they know you're a believer. They know that you're what a believer is supposed to be. And you didn't have to put on any shows. You didn't have to quote so many verses of the Bible. But no, what you said, your words were such that they knew that you were a believer. The Bible says that if we are able to control our tongue and not cause offense with our tongue, we can control our whole body. You got a problem with another sin in your life? If you go work on your tongue, it'd help you with that other sin that's in your life. If you'd be able to put a muzzle on sometimes, or at other times know when to speak. That's most of the problem. Most of the time it's we don't know when not. We just have a hard time shutting up. Amen. That's what we have a hard time with. But there's also the other side of knowing when to speak and when to talk. What kind of believer you've been? Have you been an offense by what you said? You said something, didn't think anything about it, but it went across the wrong way and caused an offense in someone else's life. Now, that being said, I'm not here to be the sensitive one to what somebody else says to me. Because they said that. That just hurt me so bad. Well, I'm sorry. And you're going to be hurt again. But the thing is, the people that are the most sensitive about what people say to them are the very people that it doesn't matter what they say to everybody else. My sensitivity is not what people say to me or about me. But God help my sensitivity to be what comes out of these lips and what this tongue is used for. Well, listen, it's not going to do me any good to try to control your tongue. If you can't control it, I sure can't control your tongue. There's only one tongue that I can control. There's only one tongue I can get sensitive about, and that's this one. Has it ever hurt you that you've hurt someone else with your tongue? Has it ever hurt you that you've destroyed someone else with your tongue? Have you ever mourned and cried about what you said? Like you mourn and cry about what somebody else says? If we're able to get a hold of this tongue, the offense, if we don't offend in word, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. We see the offense of the tongue. Number two, we quickly see the obedience to the tongue. In verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. What was he saying? He said, you take this big, massive horse and you put something that long right there in its mouth and you turn that thing wherever it needs to go. You take this massive ship, this massive boat, and there's one little thing that just sticks down the water, and you turn that one little thing, and that whole boat turns the direction it's supposed to go. And he compares that to your tongue, that your whole body comes into subjection to what comes out of your mouth. You may tell you the reason why you're a bitter person? Because you let bitterness come out of your mouth. You know the reason why you're a hateful person? Because you let your hatefulness come out of your mouth. Amen. Hey, you say, well, it had to come out somewhere. Listen, there's somewhere you can take it before God and talk to the Lord about it and fix what comes out of your mouth. Your body is in obedience to your tongue. It's in obedience. It controls what you do by what you say. I can apply that to lying. I can apply that to everything. Because the truth is, if someone is a liar with their tongue, they're a liar with their lifestyle. I could go on and on with that thought, but what you say with your tongue is your body is in obedience to it. Number three, I see the overcoming of the tongue. The Bible says in verse number 5, we see the tongue's ability to overcome. Boy, the tongue can get something done. Even so, the tongue is a little member. It's not very big. But I tell you what, it's a small part of your body compared to other parts of your body. It's a small part and boasteth great things. Boy, it can talk a lot about itself, though. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Do you realize how powerful that the tongue is, that it can overcome so many things? Listen, all we got to do is get a tongue going the wrong direction and there'll be 10 women that'll be upset at a house tonight. All this guy had is one person say something out of the way that brings an offense, and everybody will be up in the air about it, giving their 2 cents, their 10 cents, or whether you think your information, what you have to say, is worth a quarter. You're going to give it and give it and give it. And what happens? It goes on and on and on. And everything good that God could have done, your tongue can destroy it all. Makes me want to go cut mine out. Why? Because it's a fire that can consume and can consume quickly. I'm thankful that if the tongue is used correctly, it can also be a profitable fire. It can be a fire to destroy and to diffuse problems, to diffuse issues. And if somebody has that example of being a believer in word, when what was expected to ignite a fire to destroy, they learn to take a fire and learn to teach it how to warm. Same thing. Same member, but you figure out how to use it for the good instead of using it for the negative. Not only do we see the tongue's ability to overcome, but we see the ability to overcome the tongue. And what did he say in verse 7? For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Oh, my tongue's a mess. My tongue's in trouble. It is so defiled and wicked and abominable. Do you realize what you have in your mouth called your tongue is more dangerous to your kids than a rattlesnake in their bedroom? You can do more destruction with your tongue in your home than if you were to keep pet snakes in your house. The venom that comes out of this thing is far worse than the venom that would ever come out of any reptile. Boy, that wants me to keep it in control. But here's what he said. He said, no man can tame it. Now, think about this for a moment. If no man can tame it, and yet the Bible says I'm supposed to do something with it, what's the answer? God's got to tame it. You realize, according to that verse, there's not a person in this world that can tame their tongue. What greater opportunity to be an example of a believer? Because by the power of the Spirit of God, God tames the tongue. And when God tames the tongue, God allows you to be an example of the believer in word. What an opportunity. You think about it. There's one thing, it doesn't matter what part of the world you go in, that there is no man that can tame his tongue. And yet if the people around us all of a sudden see somebody, that person right there, they always are able to say the right thing. There's an example of a believer. Why? Because a saved person under the influence of the Spirit of God has the ability to control that tongue as God controls him. This is a privilege to be this example. Then we see the opportunity of the tongue, and I'll be done. In verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and thank God we can bless the Lord with our tongue. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He says, with this tongue we bless God, even the Father, and therewith, the same tongue, curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. He said, hang on, you're cursing me. You're saying these things about them, and yet they are a part of my creation. They're a part of what I have done. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. What did he say? This tongue needs to have a message with it. And it needs to have a message that always brings glory and honor to God, brings glory and honor to God's will, and is very careful. Listen, I understand this tongue has to be used to deal with things. But when it has to deal with things, that it is very careful in the way that it is used. Can you imagine if whenever this world or some other church or whatever the case is saw Sweet Home Baptist Church, they would say they know how to talk. Now, they may not respect it, but you're doing it as unto the Lord because they're the example, not to a believer, but of a believer. The example of a believer in word. Let's stand. We thank you, dear God, for your grace and mercy.